Mr. Lowry, Reel 3, do you remember the date on which you were mobilised?
I'm afraid not. Not an exact date. I know it's roughly maybe a couple of weeks before war broke out. I can't even know. But
so you were mobilised and you found yourselves in Dunson Power Station with these rather obsolete
yes.
weapons.
Yes.
Where were you accommodated then?
In a school, some school in the area. We were accommodated in a school. Yes.
Other than the fact that, of course, it was wartime, in what other ways was the training or your activities changed by the onset of war? Because now you're essentially regular soldiers. You're full time job. Yes. Did that change the atmosphere of your unit? Was there more discipline, or was basically going on as you had been, really, with the same people?
No, the same discipline. No different. No stricter. No stricter.
So you'd know each other and you'd know what you were capable of.
We were read out the army book.
King's Regulations.
King's Regulations, yes. Well, it's because that's, the rules in that. That was read out to us when we were called up, Had to go by that. Copy of the King's Regulations, rules and regulations.
And being full-time soldiers now, you would be on full-time army pay?
Yes, tuition.
Same pay as you had at camp?
Oh, yes, same pay.
Did you receive any change of uniform? Were they more up to date than what you had?
No, I didn't have enough battle dresses. There was not like it was. The men who went to France got battle dresses. We didn't, because we were classed as home defence, natural anti-aircraft. Every hand classed as home defence.
So you still had your First World War standard uniform?
Yes, definitely.
What was the drill then? You were in this school, accommodated in this school. Where did you eat?
In one of the classrooms. That one of the classrooms made into a dining hall. Emptied it out. One of the classrooms. Made into a dining hall.
So you would get up in the morning. What time again, Ravalli?
Six.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, Ravalli.
And do the usual washing, changing.
Oh yes.
You have to keep the school clean and.
Oh yes. Every mastic I'd make that picked up, there was a mastic lying out. That had to be lying about, even a mastic.
And in the school itself, where were you sleeping?
Just on the floor.
In the hall or classrooms? Or?
In the classrooms, in palliasses, what they call palliasses, full of straw, underneath things full of straw. And yes, just on the floor.
So when you'd got ready and you'd breakfasted, what happened to you then? What did you do then? Whilst we'd done some.
Dunton. Oh, we'd strip a Lewis gun, because it's very complicated. The good gun, but it's jammed easy. We learned how to strip it and put it together again, the Lewis gun. The 3-inch gun, that was pretty simple. You couldn't use that. That 1914. But the Lewis gun, you could strip it and put it back together again, all the bits and pieces. A good gun, but jammed easy.
So did you spend most of your day up on the roof of Dunson Power Station?
Oh, you got your duties, 2 hours, like guard duty. You got a couple of hours on and 4 hours off.
And what were you guarding? What were you what were you protecting as on guard duty?
The Tyne, I think. Tyne side. No, but you could see the river from Dunson Power Station, the river going through. But if any of the Luftwaffe come over, nothing. It would have been hopeless, unless it had been coming low with Lewis.
Was there a very military drill for going on guard?
Oh yes, they had proper guard on guard drill. Put that way. Oh yes, they had to do properly, well dressed, properly clean, having your boots shining and having your brasses polished.
And inspected, no doubt.
Yes, officer inspected. The officer inspected. Anyway.
And during the 2 hours guard, what were you doing? Marching them down, or what?
Guard, you march them down. Yeah. when you felt like it. If when you marked them down, you had shoulder arms, and when at ease, you just stood at one point, see, wherever you were, wherever you were stationed.
Did you ever have to challenge anyone when you were on guard?
Yes.
What was the challenge?
Coming in late, officer coming late. So I challenged him. But he was off his head. He had to stop anyone, even whoever it was, even a general. He had to be challenged. Even that red cap, and whatever he was, he had to be challenged on guard duty.
What was the challenge?
Odd who was there. If they moved any farther, odd or a fire. See, that was a drill. You had to halt, stop. See? If they start coming forward, halt or a fire. Yeah. That was a guard's duty instructions, yeah. But even, no matter how high his rank, yeah, they had to be stopped. They had to be challenged.
Had you live ammunition in the rifle?
No, not before you are. Not before that. I'll come to it. Not before I don't care. I'll come to that.
So in effect,
not previous to don't care.
You not only had obsolete equipment for firing at aircraft, you also had rifles without ammunition.
Yes, no ammunition. No, it was all a bit of a. Well, it was all a military drill. Yeah.
When you were mobilised, you were presumably given a lot more equipment from the point of view of packs and.
Oh yes, they got all that. Your pack, small pack, large pack, pouches, gas mask, gas cape. You had a gas cape. The gas cape was you put on top of all your pack. You could pull a string and it would fall over you. Just fall down over you. The gas cape. That was mustard gas.
Bayonet?
No, we didn't have bayonets on the artillery. No bayonets. Just a gun.
As part of the training, as a territorial soldier in the artillery, were you told the history of the artillery? Were you taught that?
No. No, we weren't taught. No, we weren't. No.
It wasn't part of your training to have lectures on the history of the Royal Artillery?
No. We didn't have no history on it. Nothing like that, no.
How long were you in Dunstan?
A couple of months, two or three months, August. September, the war broke out in September the 3rd. Yeah. It was only a matter of weeks away, yeah. When war broke out, it moved to. It's still in Dunstan, intense. Yeah, I know when the sirens went, when war broke out, we all dashed out and gone parade. See, yeah.
No, I meant to ask you about what you were obviously mobilised then, but when the war broke out, the announcement you went paraded.
Yes, so we were in tent at town, but when the war broke out, we were all, I think it was what 11:41, wasn't it? We were all called out on a parade.
And had you heard it on the wireless, or were you told on parade?
No, just on parade.
How did you feel when that announcement was made to you on that parade that you're now at war?
Yeah. Well, we thought, that's more or less. Yes, I think that's what it is. You could say. That's it. So we'll see what's going to happen in the future.
And it was from there you were taken to Dunstan, was it?
Yes.
From there.
Well, after the war, we put on the static 4.5s. We had the 4.5s then.
Well, what date was this? What time are we talking about now?
Maybe a few weeks after the war broke out.
Where were they?
This is still in Newcastle. There's one at Tynemouth, a place called Lobley Hill. We had different gun sites, four guns at each different places. Tynemouth. Lovely Hill, what's the other called place? Wall's End, there was a gun site at Wall's End. There's various gun sites on the Tyne. We kept moving it about. Maybe it was just for a change, most likely. But we kept moving it about, yeah.
And this happened, as you say, 3 or 4 months after you'd been to Dunstan, and then you'd moved on to there.
Yes, there'd been no bombing. It went a long time
ago. All quiet.
All quiet. but we had the guns. The guns were fixed. We had to build around the concrete parapets. We did it. I think Labour and short employed were building areas for the gun, but we were there, so we had to build. We built the gun protection, the concrete, and the crown post. We built that.
And which one were you on? Which side were you on?
We moved all of them.
You moved around the whole floor.
Oh, they kept moving, yeah. They kept changing sites. I think I was just breaking monotony, maybe, because we couldn't get much leave, you know, because when war broke out, we were on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The only men who could get out were the men who had a few went off duty, and the other ones only could get out. You couldn't go on a night. You could be in there for weeks. You did get a pass every week. What do you call it, 24-hour pass? I think it was a week or once a fortnight. Not very often, but we were passing in the camp. We were on 24-hour duty, 7 days a week.
And you moved round as a crew, you didn't move the guns round?
No, the guns were fixed.
They were fixed, you just switched?
We moved gun sites. Mm. But the first gun site, we built, when the first, the guns were there, placed, we had to build the concrete.
Protection wall
around. And the ammunition boxes, concrete, all concrete. Yeah, we had to build them.
And that was during your working day?
Oh, yes. It was a working day. We got maybe a couple of hours or an hour on the drill, and we start building these, all the concrete. Yeah. Kept us busy. Very.
And other than that, you say you obviously wouldn't be manning the guns all day, but you would be on site all day.
Oh, no. If they got a warning, when the siren went, you know, if they got a warning, the planes, you would. We only got, I don't know, come now, we were on the gun before the siren went, for the town, you know.
I was going to ask you, where were the warnings coming from? Where were the pre-raid warnings coming from?
We don't know that. We also need people who kept their eyes open. Yeah, there
like observer corps,
I would think. I wasn't sure. But we used to get warnings. We were on the guns, manned, ready.
Before. Did you fire them during this period of time? Were you allowed to fire them or practice firing?
The only time we weren't allowed to fire if the Air Force. Fighter pilots up. If they were in the vicinity, they weren't allowed to fire because they're doing them. See? It might dip them. They're coming in and attack.
So if there's an enemy raid and the fighters were up there amongst them, you didn't fire?
I couldn't fire.
But the actual period of time before any action came along, you were concreting, as you say, but were you going through any practice drills where you actually applied them in practice?
No, we didn't go, no. We knew the drill. We went through you could go through the drill without firing the gun, say. You could, yeah. One gun. Mm. All the drill.
And this is the phony war period, isn't it, when everything was...
Oh, yeah, before the drum bombs. Yeah. It was a quiet, long, quiet period. It went back once. Very quiet. Not a bomb dropped. Not a bomb dropped on this country.
Were there any housing near to your gun site?
We're surrounded by houses. We're in the field, but there was houses, farm houses at the back of us. All the rest of houses. So on one side, lovely hill, there was houses next door to you, the woods. Now guns were maybe 100 yards away, 100 yards or so from the houses.
It must have shook the houses.
We only had two guns on that side. That was a small one, small site, yes.
It must have shook the houses a bit when did that open fire?
Must have done, yeah.
And were you the curiosity of the children and the civilians around you?
The civilians, yeah. Oh, the children, yes. Because they were all barbed wire. Oh, no, it wasn't barbed wire. All wire around there. Central wire around, right round.
Did they, the civilians, being so close, did they serve you with cups of tea or...?
Oh, they're very, very good. I wouldn't say, but they're very good. No complaints. Well, we could do no wrong. Of course, we're in uniform and protecting them. That's the way they looked at it. We had to protect them. Mm. We could do no wrong, civilians. Mm.
Did you get any? I know you said that you spent a great deal of time there. Did you get any opportunity to go to the local for a pint?
Oh, yes. I forgot. You get a few. There's so many on leave. You used to get a week's leave. They would allow for that. And there were so many spare men, so we could have a night out. Maybe once a fortnight. Then you maybe once in a while you got a 24-hour leave. Another time then get a 48-hour leave, or you could get home on a 48-hour leave. Yeah. But anti-aircraft, in the Antarctic we were there all the time. Or it was 24 hours.
There was always someone on duty.
Natural. All of us. Because you never knew when we got air raid.
What was the link up with the searchlights? You were on guns.
Oh yes. Well, it was searching the sky all the time.
And were searchlights near to you?
No, not quite. We never couldn't see the searchlights quite a long way. Well, I wouldn't say a long way, maybe a mile or so. Yeah.
So at night time, you would need searchlights, of course, to be on target.
Oh yes. I think coming over at daytime, they're losing too many planes, if you go in this street. The Air Force, the Spitfires, too good for them. The Germans lost too many planes, and they start coming at night.
Yeah. And there must have been some communication link that enabled the searchlights to work with the guns.
Oh, it might have been. I didn't know that. It might have been later on. I'll come to that later on. But those searchlights all the time, don't they?
Well, we'll come to that, as you say.
She's sweeping the sky.
Do you recall the first time that you fired on an enemy aircraft? Was it in this period of time, obviously, when they started coming over?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're still at Newcastle in that area?
Oh, yes. And that was on the, yes.
So these would be the Newcastle raids?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall the first time?
Oh, yes. Very much.
What happened?
We called out, and the plane come over, and we knew it was going to happen. I think it bombed London then. It hadn't bombed up north. And then my imagination, we weren't the pictures, getting machine gun and goodness knows what. You know, but I was a bit, how can you put it? Not so much scared. Well, the way I say, I put it scared, yeah. But once you start the fire, once you get in action, it all leaves you. You're calm as you make them. You're doing your job, you're trained. I've learned that. Once you get it, you'll be scared beforehand. Once you get it, you're doing anything. Like that, it all leaves you. You're as calm as you make them. You're doing that job you've been trained to do. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Was this a daylight raid? This first
yes,
raid?
First, yeah.
And how many aircraft were involved?
Just the one. I got away. Yeah. Just the one.
But you got a fire. And were you still on the predictor then?
Oh, yes. The costs were pretty close. They weren't close enough. But I got away that plane.
Did he drop any bombs, or was he just...
I think he did. I'm not sure. We were out on the coast at that time. Right on the coast, and he went out to sea again. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know how close you got to him with your shots, particularly.
You could see what close enough. Round the plane. Not close enough. There was these silver bursting round them. Mm.
Do you remember what date this was?
Oof, I wish I could. No, I can't. No, one day during the war. That was the first time in action. Mm. Then there was no more. They stopped coming in daylight, like the Germans, so there wasn't too many planes.
So that, other than that raid, after that, what night raids, were you? That you
night raids, yeah. Yes. Well, we had these men, well, the privates, gunners and such like, going on this course. It was very, I couldn't talk about it. It was very secretive. They wouldn't talk about it. These few men went on this course. They were intelligent men. Put it that way. No lad had been to high school, maybe somewhere else had been to college. Teachers. Well, we went on this course. We didn't know what it was. But But it was radar. You see, we invented radar. And we were in Tynemouth, and they put this radar on our site. Radar was an area as large as a football field with chicken wire. You could walk under it. It was spread out, chicken wire. And the radar box, where the men got in, like a big cabin thing, and the thing, what they call it, going round and round to pick it up the sound. And that put a difference. At night time, the radar could pick the weather planes area, and the area planes where. And, I was on the predictor, I was on this side, but I couldn't use that. The telescope, there's no place to say, but I had these telephones over me here. When I was getting all the information, I'd repeat this information, come the radar, when the command post was where they come from, I repeated the officer, and he was supplying the information to the guns. And I was stuck up with the radar. And just one night, this plane came over and dropped in parachute players. Now, Lewis guns opened up, and I was dropping them in these fire as quick as I could. I traced the bullets from the Lewis guns, see? Because we had Lewis guns as well, a couple, to protect the site for low flying aircraft, these Lewis guns. And they're dropping these flares, these lads, and they dropped a string of bombs. And everybody got below the part of us, I couldn't. I'm calling all person now, because I fixed up these wires and over my head. And I squashed myself against the predictor. Made me have the smallest target as possible. And then all I got was they dropped the bombs looking in the ploughed field. Like bits of soil pop on my tin hat and my shoulder. I couldn't feel it. Nothing heavier. That's when radar. They went after the guns. The guns weren't important. They weren't going to try and they come over there. When they come bombing, they come after it more important than a few guns. But they did come after that radar. But they found out. Look, what they call, I'll come before me turn now. We should get the radar could give the instructions. All the guns in the area, in a target area, the planes or whatever they were, fight together. What they call a block marriage. The whole lot. Maybe 12 guns, maybe more, maybe. It all depends in the range of that plane, or planes. At night. they get a block barrage, what they call a block barrage. Every gun fired in that area, from the instructions from the radar. That's why they're coming. But they want to get rid of that radar, because we're right in a time mode. Right in the mode of time. And the planes here, you come from Germany, and... Yes, a string of bombs were dropped. Luckily, they missed us. About maybe a couple hundred yards, right on the field. Well, we had one exploded bomb in the cabins. We couldn't go back to the after stand down. We couldn't go up after the cabins till the bomb disposal team came. We got rid of it. But
block barrage. Block barrage. An interesting term. All right, the guns all fired together.
Yes.
Did they fire at a height and a range that which was like a box?
I don't know how it was done, but I was getting the information. Even the fuse was all going. Oh, sorry. It was all going to predictor, but the predictor was connected up with the guns with the big batteries underneath and the cables leading to every gun. And all that information went like a thick cable about 2 inches thick from these big batteries. Same we have a kind of car, only a dick. That's it.
So you were the communication point between the radar and the guns, in effect?
Yes, I was. I was stuck there. And I gave all this information to the officer in the command post. And he had the megaphone, say, and he kept repeating this information to the guns. Even the fuse. All the fuse, heights, and various information coming in, and I repeat it. And there was predicting a predictor. Of course, the predictor was going round, with the bearings, the angle, whatever. And it was painting the guns, the four guns round, the angle, and the front, putting the fuse in the shells, on the nose cap.
How How was that done? The
fuse.
Yeah. How was the fuse changed? You say that the predictor had given a fuse.
On top of the shell, there was a thing you could, the point, about 3 inches of that, you could turn it around, there was numbers, and you put the fuse on that. On the 4.5s, you could put into a box, and it was, that would turn the nose of the shell to that fuse, so it was loaded, the chucker on the gun. Bree was the one.
So that 4.5 was—it was almost an automatic thing.
That was set the fuse on the shell, but it was a loose. It would turn round.
And then it had to be done with every shell that was going to be fired.
Every shell that bullet put in there, to put a fuse on the shell, that would burst it. That set height.
Yeah. So that information would come from your predictor, and some men would change the fuse.
That's right.
Alter the fuse to the side. Yeah.
I was getting all this information. Repeat the officer. Officer used his megaphone. He had to make one of it. So he could the fuse and various. Of course, all the information was given because the predictor was in operation. See, they couldn't say, but they were turning the bearings, the handle, and such.
And that was on the officer's instructions. As he shouted that out, they were doing the changes.
They were all put into.
You fed the officer, and the officer fed the predictor.
I would repeat everything. All these horns, even fire. I mean, that would make five shell pipe board officer, I think. Yeah. But quite a lot of raids, a lot of air raids. Quite a lot.
So, this is the time of the Tyneside air raids that came in.
Yes.
And now that we're talking about they've gone from day to night raids,
yeah.
Where did the searchlights fit into the whole group system, the whole system of firing?
Well, it was the searchlight got a plane one night. One searchlight got it. And another searchlight come on the same target. There was two searchlights on the one plane. We started firing. Every gun in the area was firing at it. And I was off the earphones, on the back of me, looking through the particular telescope at the bear and turning it around. And all of a sudden, just they cut this plane just below up in the wind, just a big flash.
If the searchlights got onto a plane in that way, was it difficult for the pilot to get out of it?
Oh, you could see him trying to get out with movements. Mm. Yeah. Even a block barrage, the bearings would change. You could hear, you could see the bearings all of a sudden would change, or try to move away from the block barrage. It must have been pretty effective, to frighten them at least. Yeah, it would alter all of a sudden, fairly quick. It wouldn't tell you a steady flow. That
it was altering quickly.
Alter quickly. Mm.
So the